Arizona is a public service of Rio Salado College. For more information, visit sunsounds.org.
It is now 7 o'clock. We're going to return to the reading of the USA Today newspaper. Here's your readers again, Mike Miller and Bonnie Kong.
And we're back, and I'll start out with the money line of the money section. First up, China's yuan weakens for a second time this week. China's currency weakened again Wednesday despite hopes among financial traders that its decline was stabilizing. The yuan edged down to 7.0488 to the U.S. dollar, about 0.4% below its level late Tuesday. The currency strengthened slightly to 7.0443 to the dollar in the afternoon, but still was far below the previous day's level. Financial markets tumbled after the yuan fell Monday to an 11-year low against the dollar, breaking through the politically sensitive level of 7. Sorry, not sorry, FedEx halts Amazon deliveries. FedEx will no longer make ground deliveries for Amazon as the online shopping giant builds its own fleet and becomes more of a threat to delivery companies. The announcement Wednesday comes 2 months after FedEx already terminated its air delivery contract with Amazon. FedEx said dumping Amazon is part of its plan to go after more e-commerce deliveries from other companies. And finally, SoftBank's profit nearly quadruples. Japanese technology company SoftBank Group Corp. reported Wednesday its fiscal first quarter profit nearly quadrupled to 1.122 trillion yen, $10.6 billion, as its fund investments boosted income. The SoftBank Vision Fund has invested in dozens of companies, including Slack, Uber, and DoorDash.
Here are tips for dealing with HOAs. Navigate the good, bad of home associations. This article is by Jana Heron. If you're on a house hunt now, there's a good chance you may end up finding your dream home within a community association. About 25% to 27% of the U.S. population lives in a community association, whether a homeowner's, condominium, townhouse, or a cooperative housing association, according to the Foundation for Community Association Research. In all, there are about 347 community associations with 73.5 million residents in the U.S. These associations are generally tasked with coordinating the upkeep of the common property of a building or planned or gated community. They do this by charging fees or dues and possible assessments to perform necessary repairs. Of course, not all homeowners' associations are created equal. Some are well-run and well-funded by a competent board and savvy management company. Others may be plagued with infighting, costly upcoming repairs, or nosy busybodies. Some people love it, some people hate it, says Bryce Pinnell, a real estate agent with Coldwell Banker in Beverly Hills, California. It's partly who you are and what triggers you, if you like to do things solo or as a group. Here are the pros and cons of living with an HOA. Amenities. Many neighborhoods with homeowners associations come with community amenities such as pools, tennis courts, playgrounds, or fitness centers that members in good standing can use, possibly saving them money on gym memberships and the like. Maintenance. The major benefit of HOAs is that they take care of the common grounds, so you don't have to. That can be a landscaping, roads, and other common areas. They are also responsible for getting necessary insurance for community areas like pools and playgrounds. Ownership. If you're unhappy with your HOA board of directors, you can always run for the board and help set the agenda for your neighborhood. In that sense, you take ownership of your community along with your house. Here are the cons of HOAs. Dues. HOA dues, which can be charged monthly or yearly, increase the cost of living in a neighborhood or building run by an association. In Beverly Hills, some of the luxury condos can charge up to $3,000 extra a month for dues, Pinnell says. Overall, though, HOA fees are typically in the low hundreds of dollars. Part of your dues goes to paying monthly expenses, while the remaining funds go into a reserve pool for bigger repairs or replacements down the road. Your HOA dues may also cover costs you would otherwise pay for yourself if you didn't live in an HOA, says Vanessa Beniz, a real estate agent with Century 21 Frank Fry Real Estate in Licking County, Ohio. If the HOA is covering utilities, water, and trash, then it can be a pro, Beniz says. No matter what your dues cover, it's important to pay them on time. If you get behind without setting up a payment plan, the HOA can foreclose on your property. Assessments. If the HOA doesn't have deep reserves and an unexpected but immediate repair comes up, all homeowners in the association may be charged a one-time assessment to cover the cost of the repair. Depending on the expense, this could take you and your wallet by surprise. Rules. Another drawback is the rules that the association sets for the common facilities, as well as factors affecting your home and habits, such as proper garbage can etiquette and approved paint colors or roof tiles, especially if you're in a designated historic district. If you want to renovate your house, especially if you own in a unit in a condo building, you may need to submit your plans for approval by the HOA before proceeding. These rules, in general, are put in place for everyone's best interest, Pinnell says. But when told there are rules, people can get frustrated. What to look for in an HOA. Before buying into an HOA, do your due diligence. That includes looking over the HOA's covenants, conditions, and restrictions, or CC&Rs. There, you should find the community's rules and regulations as they apply to your home and the community as a whole. You should also get a peek at the HOA's finances to see if it has a healthy reserves fund for emergencies. Ask for the minutes from the past annual meetings. These aren't always easy to get, says Beniz, who habitually puts it into the contract that her buyers get to see the minutes before closing. Beniz also recommends asking those who live in the neighborhood about the HOA and how it's run. You may get the most honest answers from people not interested in selling you a house. The name of this article is Here Are Tips for Dealing with HOAs. And the article was written by Jana Heron.
And the Sun Sounds of Arizona time is 7:09. Our next article is by Rebecca Tuscherer and is entitled 1 in 5 Students Skip College. Casey Murphy's college tuition bill is a moving target. 3 years ago, the Phoenix native received an acceptance letter and a hefty scholarship to the University of San Francisco, which she gladly accepted, thinking she'd pay about $400 out of pocket each semester for tuition. But that was before USF raised its tuition by 12.2% over the last 3 academic years. The 21-year-old international studies major now has to pay nearly $3,000 for her remaining 2 semesters, and faces almost $15,000 in student loans upon graduation, a number she expected to be near zero. I turned down offers at better schools to go to USF with the intention that it would be a really good way to save money, But as they continued to increase tuition, I started to go into debt, and I wasn't planning on it, Murphy said. Murphy works as a nanny full-time during the school year and shares a small two-bedroom apartment with three other students to help offset the unexpected costs, but said there's only so much she can do while being a full-time student. Mounting tuition fees and high stress levels have left more than three-fourths of Gen Zers and millennials stressed about tuition, living expenses, getting good grades, and finding a career that pays well, according to a study released Tuesday by TD Ameritrade, a financial service company. Some young people are considering online classes or skipping a four-year degree altogether when they cannot pay the college sticker price, the survey of 3,000 found. High anxiety and non-traditional routes should not be surprising as college costs are rising at levels higher than inflation. Dara Luber, a senior retirement planner at TD Ameritrade, said, as colleges become more expensive and debt becomes more prevalent, young Americans are really concerned about college costs. A lot of them are exploring options outside of their parents paying for it, Luber said. Student debt has more than tripled in the past 2 years, from an average of $10,205 to $31,370, according to a similar 2017 TD Ameritrade study. Total student loan debt in the United States reached almost $1.5 trillion during the first quarter of 2019, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Almost 60% of Gen Zers plan to receive scholarships or grants, and 46% will work a summer job to cover tuition, according to the study. About 4 in 10 also plan to take out student loans, apply for financial aid, and work at least one part-time job while in college. Gen Zers and millennials are also considering cost-effective pathways outside a four-year degree. Half are considering online classes, and one-third are considering community colleges before a four-year degree, according to the report. Despite 96% of parents still expecting their children to pursue higher education, one in five young people may opt out of college entirely. Students draw from many financial sources to pay for college, including student loans, scholarships, grants, and part-time work. A majority also contribute cash from their own savings. According to TD Ameritrade, millennials saved an average of $9,258 on their own for college, while Gen Zers have saved $4,734. Parents also chip in, with 44% of young millennials and 62% of Gen Zers reporting parental help, according to the report. However, almost half of millennials and 27% of Gen Zers plan to pay for 75% or more of college expenses on their own. And that was an article by Rebecca Tuscherer. Study says they are stressed over high tuitions and grades.
And here's an article by Dixita Limbachia. It's entitled Pizza Hut, Goodbye to 500 Dine-In Locations. Say goodbye to your local dine-in Pizza Hut as the company looks to make a transition. Roughly 500 U.S. dine-in Pizza Hut restaurants are likely to close due to competing delivery and carry-out orders, according to Food Business News. Report of the closings comes after an earnings call with David Gibbs, Chief Operating Officer, Yum! Brands. This will ultimately strengthen the Pizza Hut business in the U.S., and set it up for a faster long-term growth, said Gibbs. In total, There are 7,496 Pizza Hut locations in the U.S., according to the Yum! Brands website. Of that, 6,100 locations are traditional restaurants, and 1,350 are express units, said Gibbs. It's hard to estimate how soon the timing of when a store will close and then when the replaced unit will open, Gibbs said. There will be gaps on some of those, but certainly our goal is to try to minimize those gaps. As Pizza Hut makes the transition from its iconic red roof dine-in restaurant to quick delivery, Gibbs also said that locations are expected to drop to 7,000 in the next 2 years. And this article by Dixita Limbachia is entitled Pizza Hut, Goodbye to 500 Dine-In Locations.
And the Sun Sounds of Arizona time is 7:16. Our next article is by Dalvin Brown and is entitled What It Is Like to Swim with AR Goggles. One summer weekend, I was granted two-day access to a nearby resort-style fitness facility with a deluxe indoor pool. So I went for a swim while connected, of course. Before leaving my apartment, I grabbed my iPhone, packed a pair of swimming trunks, and headed toward the door before realizing I forgot to charge my goggles. Yes, charge them. The same way you would your smartphone or your smartwatch. Form, developed by a Vancouver-based startup, is what happens when your typical pair of swim goggles receives a total 2.0 upgrade. The water-friendly gadget is packed with hyped-up tech like machine learning, augmented reality, and real-time performance metrics. I wanted to find out if the nifty eyewear from the future would live up to the hype. And the results were interesting. Why? As a person who's always connected and who does not enjoy fitness without a way to track my metrics, I hope these goggles would make lengthy swim sessions less lonely and boring. While my Apple Watch does a perfectly fine job with providing detailed dive metrics, it's tough and awkward to peer at your wrist while swimming. Also, it's difficult for companies to seamlessly integrate augmented reality into workouts without bulky headsets, so I was skeptical. How does Form work? When you put on the goggles, you're supposed to see tiny lime green letters floating in your line of sight. The company says it uses waveguide technology, whatever that means, to make sure you can focus. You use two tiny buttons on the right side of the goggles to adjust settings like brightness and pool length. The device has about 16 hours of battery life. What was it like? It seems like Form got the formula right. At first glance, I thought the digital rendering looked cheap, but as I began swimming, the whole experience felt much more premium. It was dreamy to see little numbers unobtrusively count my calories burned and laps swum to no matter where I looked. Visually, I felt sort of like an aquatic robot prototype or something. I ran my Apple Watch Series 4 in pool swim workout mode while I tried out Form just to compare the two. Both the smartwatch and smart goggles reflected the same number of calories burned. However, Form picked up the moment I began swimming, and the metrics were faster to respond to my rest than my Apple Watch. The goggles did not even fog up or let water in. While attempting to connect the gadget with a smartphone app, I had a few connection issues, which happens occasionally when pairing devices via Bluetooth. Eventually, everything paired Fine and the app categorize my swims. Do you need AR goggles? Overall, swimming with Form felt special. But then again, I was in a luxurious water club home to both Olympic swimmers, one percenters, and a few ordinary people like myself. Still, the goggles felt like something new while remaining familiar. Does everyone need a pair of $199 augmented reality goggles? No, unless you are a competitive athlete or just really serious about tracking your swims down to the millisecond. Are they nice to have? Absolutely. So if you want a more purposeful or engaging experience while swimming, then maybe give them a go. Just do not forget to charge them. And that was an article by Dalvin Brown, What It's Like to Swim with AR Goggles.
And moving on to the sports section, here's an article by Nancy Armour. Protecting young is officials' number one job. Kansas City, Missouri. Day in and day out, Simone Biles and her fellow athletes do their jobs. They go into their gyms, their pools, their courts, and they work their butts off for hours and hours on end, sacrificing the lives us ordinary people take for granted. They do it because they've been blessed with talent. They love their sport, and ultimately because they take pride in wearing those uniforms with USA emblazoned on them. And when it mattered most, the people whose job it was to protect Biles and every other athlete couldn't do theirs. Whether it was out of short-sightedness, fear, or self-interest, it doesn't really matter. Nothing can ever excuse the adults at USA Gymnastics, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, and FBI from not doing their best for Biles and other vulnerable young athletes. Every day is a reminder of what I went through and what I've been through and what I'm going through and how I've come out of it, Biles said Wednesday after practice for this weekend's U.S. Championships. It's hard to talk about. It's really hard to talk about, she said, her eyes filling. I just feel like, I don't know, I don't mean to cry, but it's hard coming here for an organization, having had them fail us so many times. We had one goal, and we've done everything that they've asked us for, even when we didn't want to, and they couldn't do one damn job. You had one job. You literally had one job, and you couldn't protect us. That's what it all comes down to, nearly 3 years after the Indianapolis Star, part of the USA Today network, first revealed that Larry Nassar had sexually abused athletes under his care with USA Gymnastics and Michigan State. The independent investigations and the congressional hearings, of course it's important to find out how Nassar went unchecked for the better part of three decades, preying on 300-plus girls and young women, Biles included, and why sexual abuse is so prevalent in the Olympic movement. But too often, it obscures the simplest fact. People who should have known better, done better, didn't. And the lives of Biles and too many others will never be the same. A report last week by a Senate committee revealed that the FBI, along with USA Gymnastics and the USOPC, failed to act on accusations Nassar was abusing athletes until he was arrested in the fall of 2016. Worse, the understandable lack of trust Biles and other survivors have is holding back the entire movement, slowing the reckoning and reconciliation that is necessary if future generations of athletes are to be spared a similar fate. USA Gymnastics is on its fourth CEO since March 2017, while the USOPC has undergone an entire overhaul of its leadership. The U.S. Center for Safe Sport is still struggling to find its footing, overwhelmed by sexual abuse complaints from across the entire Olympic movement. Meanwhile, the lawsuits filed by Nassar's victims against USA Gymnastics and the USOPC remain unresolved, with mediation dragging on and on and on. Given all that, how can anyone expect Biles and the other survivors to move on, to heal, to not be suspicious of those who swear they are trying to do right by them? How can we trust them, Biles asked, almost rhetorically. They bring in new people all the time, and I automatically put walls up because the people I had known for years failed us. All we can do at this point is have faith that they'll have our backs. They'll do the right thing. But at the end of the day, it's just a ticking time bomb. We'll see. It's a waiting game. Every day, even when she's tired or doesn't want to, Biles does her job. It's long past time we demand that the powers that be in the Olympic movement do the same. And this article, written by Nancy Armour, is entitled Protecting Young is Officials' Number One Job.
And the Sun Sounds of Arizona time is coming up on to 7:27. Our next article is by David Dusick and is entitled Tiger Stiff Heading into FedEx Cup Playoffs. It's from Jersey City, New Jersey. Last season's FedEx Cup Playoffs were capped by a tournament that Walt Disney would have loved. Tiger Woods held off Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose down the stretch to capture the Tour Championship, his first victory in 5 years. Images of fans following Woods down the 18th fairway on Sunday flooded social media and were on the front page of newspapers around the world. But on Wednesday at Liberty National Golf Club, Woods did not play like that golfer. His post-round comments also cast a shadow of doubt over his outlook at both the Northern Trust and in the FedEx Cup playoffs. After waiting through a 30-minute delay, Woods' group was the first to tee off on the first hole of Wednesday's Pro-Am at 7:30. Tiger hit a driver, then a wedge onto the green of the 370-yard hole. He hit a solid iron shot to the 208-yard second hole, and then a 3-wood off the tee on the third. As he often does, Tiger ignored the holes, opting to chip and putt to white tees that his caddy, Joe LaCava, posited around the greens. As the amateurs played out the holes, Woods honed his short game, practiced lag putts, and rolled balls over the massive swales and slopes. Everything seemed normal until the group reached the eighth hole, when Woods opted not to walk back to the pro tees and instead cut the corner and joined his group on a forward tee box. He did not tee off on that hole, but hit a series of chips and putts and then repeated the same thing on the ninth hole. Woods did not hit any full swing shots over the last nine holes of his practice round. He taped a walking interview that will appear on CBS this morning on Thursday. He talked with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan on the 16th tee, and he gave one Pro-Am partner a chipping lesson, but he did not hit his driver, fairway woods, or irons. In truth, he didn't hit a single shot on the 13th hole or the 15th hole. I was getting stiff, and it was best to be smart about it, he said afterward. Just rested, so I chipped and putted out there for nine holes. Woods played nine holes on Tuesday with Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and Harold Varner, and said he felt great. Wednesday morning, he didn't, And that's the new normal for the 15-time major winner at age 43. I've said to you guys all year, some days I'm stiffer than others, he said. Yesterday I was out there hitting it great, driving it out there with Brixey and DJ, and today I'm stiff. Perhaps it was an omen that while Woods chatted with his pro-am partners about 60 yards from the 12th green, a ball bounced in the middle of the fairway and came to rest about 15 yards to the right of Tiger. The tailor-made marked it with a 22 belonging to Roy McIlroy, who, playing behind Tiger's group, had just hit a drive that went more than 360 yards. Tiger has played in only 10 PGA Tour events this season, and four since his victory at Augusta National in April. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship and the British Open, tied for ninth at the Memorial, and was tied for 21st at the U.S. Open. Now the task that lies before him is to play 3 weeks in a row, which he has not done all season, with a back that is good one day and potentially stiff and problematic the next. Yes, there is a concern, he said bluntly while talking to the media. Missing the cut at Liberty National would give Woods the weekend off to rest. He is starting the week at number 28 on the FedEx Cup points list, so he will assuredly qualify for next week's BMW Championship. The worst thing that could happen now might be for Tiger to make the cut, but fail to get into contention. At this point, he has to conserve energy. I'm trying to get myself to where I'm in contention, but it takes a toll on you, and that's what I want to feel, Woods said. I want to feel that type of tiredness where I had a chance to win. That's a good feeling, he said. Lots of players and their families take in Broadway shows when there are tournaments in New York City area. This week, the most intriguing drama seems to be taking place across the river in New Jersey. And that was an article by David Dusick, Tiger Stiff Heading into FedEx Cup Playoffs.
Here's an article by Jory Epstein. Cowboys great, says Dak criticism, insane. Oxnard, California. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones agrees. Dak Prescott has the intangibles and leadership that Jones wants for his next franchise quarterback. But Jones wants to clarify the leadership praise that Prescott has drawn from his coaches, teammates, and more throughout training camp. So often you'll have a player that, because they're special with their charm or they're special with their ability to human skills, that they'll imply that he's not physically what you want, Jones said Sunday after the Cowboys intra-squad scrimmage. Michael Irvin's one that you always hear. We couldn't have done it without his heart and soul and leadership. And it implied a little bit that he was an overachiever, which means a little less talent. And that was not the case. Michael was one of the most talented guys you could ever be around. Irvin caught 750 passes for 11,904 yards and 65 touchdowns in 159 regular season games with the Cowboys. The 11th overall pick of the 1988 draft helped the Cowboys to each of their three Super Bowls in 1990s. Dallas hasn't returned to the NFC Championship game since the 1995 season. Irvin understands Jones' argument. People don't appreciate the charisma as a talent and gift, Irvin told USA Today Sports. It's got to be the greatest talent in this business. We don't count. That is why Tom Brady has six rings. Rarely, rarely do you get the heart and soul of the football team at the quarterback position. Dak Prescott has that in him. I tell people, Stop it. Stop being a dummy here. It's the ultimate gift a quarterback could have, especially in a world where the quarterback is so isolated and put on a pedestal. Irvin also disagrees with those criticizing physical gifts. Sure, he's biased toward the team he spent his entire 12-year career with, but the league has changed since his 1990s glory, Irvin said. Faster defensive linemen, faster linebackers, and the overall speed of defenses increasingly emphasizes the value of quarterback mobility in addition to accuracy. Prescott's completion rate through 3 years of 67.7% ranks 15th among quarterbacks who have attempted at least 100 throws, but he was the fourth most accurate quarterback in 2016. After the Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper in October, Prescott's completion rate jumped from 62% in the first seven games of the season to 72% in the final nine. Irvin sees the latter as indicative of what Prescott can do in 2019 with receivers who fit his skill better. Talent must be harmonious with one another, Jack, and Dez Bryant was not harmonious, Irvin said. Now he has guys that fit his talent, and I think now he takes off. With Cooper, he can throw the ball, while the guys in the route knowing he's going to transition well out of the route and be open. Now I'm throwing anticipatory throws. I'm throwing anticipatory throws and getting the ball out of my hands quickly, and I'm putting the ball in a spot and expect him to get to it. That will improve accuracy. Prescott will also look to shoulder fewer sacks in 2019. The 56 he took in 2018 were more than his first 2 years combined. Prescott said Sunday he'll take the blame for at least half of them. The goal this season, balance, a quicker release with the understanding that sometimes his best plays come on the run as he extends them with his legs. Prescott scored six rushing touchdowns each year in the league. Irvin thinks that harmony is the key to Prescott's progress. Game management and understanding time of possession, including wearing down defenses and moving the chains in shorter scenarios, are crucial. Aaron Rodgers should have more titles, but the problem is the dramatic and dynamic you can't win with all the time, Irvin said. The dramatic and dynamic in this league has to be something you mix in here and there, not something you live on and feed on all day long. For Dak to understand that, I have to toe this line. I need to play the game steady Eddie until I have to be the dynamic and dramatic. What he just said is why Tom Brady has six Super Bowls and Aaron has one. No doubt, Irvin said, running back Ezekiel Elliott, who is currently holding out, is necessary to the Cowboys' defense, working as described. It's insane sometimes when I hear the analysis on Dak Prescott. And this man has won as many games as he's won, Irvin said. It's like everyone's looking for a reason not to believe instead of opening their eyes for all the reasons they should believe. And this article by Jory Epstein is entitled Cowboys Great Says Dak Criticism Insane.
And the Sun Sounds of Arizona time is 7:39, so we'll move over to the life section, and I'll start out with the Lifeline. They said, what? The Star's best quote. After wiping away the tears, after the beautiful sunsets, there is always a new day. It is not the big events or pretty things that hold you up at the end of the day. It's family. I feel so incredibly blessed to be part of such a loving, supportive, and strong family that shows up in good times and in tough times. I love each and every one of them and am so grateful to have them in my life. And that was Katherine Schwarzenegger on Instagram Tuesday after the death of Cerosi Kennedy Hill last week. How was your day? Katy Perry. Following the thrilling debut of Katy Perry's return single, Never Really Over, earlier this year, the singer is teasing the release of her new song, Small Talk, by sharing what appeared to be the song's lyric on her Instagram. The 34-year-old posted several images of sticky notes printed with From the Desk of Katy Perry, each featuring a new line of text accompanied by the hashtag SmallTalk hashtag. I just can't believe we went from strangers to lovers to strangers in a lifetime, read one note. Perry has yet to share a release date or any other information about the potential new song. It's your birthday. Who's celebrating today? J.C. Chazes is 43. Princess Beatrice is 31. And Shawn Mendes is 21. And here are the songs that Bonnie has downloaded onto her iPhone. The top one has been there for a long time. It's breaking all the records. Lil Nas X featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road. Blanco Brown with The Get Up. Lizzo with Truth Hurts. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello with Senorita. And finally, Billie Eilish with Bad Guy.
Thanks, Mike. I like Old Town Road by Lil Nas. It's my favorite. Here's a TV preview written by Gary Levin. It's entitled, Next Crime Story is Lewinsky Scandal. Beverly Hills, California. FX is reviving plans for a third installment of its award-winning American Crime Story franchise that centers on the Monica Lewinsky scandal and the 1998 impeachment of President Bill Clinton. Impeachment, American Crime Story, stars Beanie Feldstein as Lewinsky, the young White House intern who had an affair with Clinton. Murphy repertory veteran Sarah Paulson from American Horror Story will play Linda Tripp, the treacherous government employee who secretly recorded conversations with Lewinsky. And Broadway actress Anna Lee Ashford has been cast as Paula Jones, who sued Clinton for harassment, a move that led to his impeachment by the House of Representatives. The role of Clinton has not been cast. The project was shelved last year, but FX Network's chairman John Landgraf tells USA Today that it's being revived because writer Sarah Burgess conceived of a new feminist take on the script that tells a story from the women's point of view. Lewinsky was recently brought on board as a producer, which helped revive it. In a statement to Vanity Fair, she said, "People have been co-opting and telling my part in this story for decades. In fact, it wasn't until the past few years that I've been able to fully reclaim my narrative, almost 20 years later. But I'm so grateful for the growth we've made as a society that allows people like me, who have been historically silenced, to finally reintroduce my voice to the conversation. This isn't just a me problem. Powerful people, often men, take advantage of those subordinate to them in myriad ways all the time. Many people will see this as such a story, and for that reason, this narrative is one that is regretfully evergreen." The third crime story explores the overlooked dimensions of the women who found themselves caught up in the scandal and political war that cast a long shadow over the Clinton presidency, he says in a statement. Still, the project could spark controversy given the current political climate and Democratic calls for President Donald Trump's impeachment. Burgess will executive produced the series along with Ryan Murphy and his team of producers, including Brad Falchuk, Brad Simpson, and Nina Jacobson, who were involved in the previous installments. The limited series will begin production in February, and in an unusual move, FX has already set a premiere date of September 27, 2020, just weeks before the next presidential election. Asked about the timing, Landgraf said, "The way we look at American crime story is as revisionist history. It's a moment of time that can be looked at with much more complexity, much more nuance. People are going to be very interested in this before the presidential election, and it's going to be a great show." FX's two previous seasons of crime story, The People versus O.J. Simpson in 2016 and The Assassination of Gianni Versace in 2018, won a combined 16 Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Limited Series for both. But a planned season on Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath was plagued by script problems and then shelved. Last August, FX chief John Landgraf said Murphy had decided the Clinton-Lewinsky project was off, but was ready to pronounce it dead. And this article by Gary Levin is entitled, "Next Crime Story is Lewinsky Scandal."
And the Sun Sounds of Arizona Time is coming up on to 7:47. Our next article is by Rasha Ali and is entitled, "Our Favorite Snacks That Were Discontinued." Here we are, another year in and no closer to getting our favorite summer snacks back. The days are getting longer, and we can only dream of having a refreshing, clearly Canadian sparkling water or a Jell-O pudding pop to leave the heat. While we are sure these snacks are currently in a better place, here are some of our favorites that we'd like to have back as soon as possible. Thanks. Sprite Remix. The Sprite Remix was introduced in 2003, and the tropical flavor was hands down the best. It's not just the drink we miss, but 7-Eleven stores used to make Slurpees with the flavor, and it tasted like summer in a cup. It was the most refreshing drink for a nice summer day, and now we have to settle for basic Slurpee flavors. McDonald's fried apple pie. McDonald's still has their classic apple pie, but instead of it being fried to a crispy perfection, like all good American things should be, it's baked. The company stopped frying its pies in 1992 as a way to make it healthier, and the recipe changes have not stopped since. Just last year, McDonald's said they are going to be using less sugar and will have a lattice-style crust instead of its usual hot pocket frame. And sure, it's healthier, but that doesn't make it better. Clearly Canadian, the original sparkling water of choice. Clearly Canadian has played with our emotions for far too long. The flavored sparkling beverage was first discontinued in 2009 before being brought back in 2017, but they are still pretty difficult to find in the United States. It's sold out on Amazon, and you can only buy pallets from the Clearly Canadian website, which will run you almost $2,500 if you wanted a pallet of it. Squeeze it. Looking back, it's hard to think of why anyone would be intrigued by bright colored juice contained in a plastic bottle you can only access after twisting and ripping off a cap, then squeezing it to drink it. But we all loved them. Squeeze-Its stopped being produced in 2001, but we'd all like them to come back. Jell-O pudding pops. Why anyone would want to make pudding into a popsicle is beyond us, but we could sure go for one of these treats. Jell-O pudding pops were made for kids who couldn't decide between a popsicle or the creamy goodness of ice cream. Now you can have both and have it on a stick. They stopped making them in 1993. Bummer. But that doesn't mean you can't make your own at home. Dunkaroos, the perfect snack, gone from us far too soon. These were mini pieces of heaven sold in the form of a cookie cracker, accompanied with a space for chocolate frosting to dip the cookie. Dunkaroos were perfect for the summertime, when you were lounging by the pool or beach and wanted to indulge in some light snacking. You can still get your hands on these gems online. The General Mills stopped producing them in the United States in 2012. Brock's Ice Blue Mint Coolers. Along with many others, their bulk candy favorites, Brock's discontinued the Ice Blue Mint Coolers. How are we expected to have fresh breath without Brock's Ice Blue Mint Coolers? Let's not even get into the A&W Root Beer Barrel Candy, Neapolitan Coconut Sundaes, or the Soda Pop Poppers Candy. Why aren't we allowed to have nice things? Hubba Bubba Squeeze Pop Liquid Candy Tubes. Let's admit these squeeze pop liquid candy things were kind of weird. There's a bright blue, green, or red colored sticky liquid inside a plastic tube, and you squeeze some into your finger and then eat it? We don't know why these appealed to us, but now is the time to bring them back. We'd all love to pop out a squeeze pop liquid candy tube from our purse during a movie and snack on it. Lollipop Paint Shop. Before Tide Pods, eating paint was all the rage. Candy paint, that is. The kids of yesterday were not as wild as the kids of today. Lollipop Paint Shop candy consisted of a lollipop-shaped brush that you could dip into powdered candy that was modeled after paint. Parents weren't too pleased with the idea of their kids licking paint brushes, which seemed to have an impact on production of the candy because they are no longer being made. Adults ruin all the fun.
I'll say.
And that was an article by Rasha Ali. Our favorite snacks that were discontinued.
Well, we have 2 minutes left to this broadcast, dear listeners. So here's something from the music column. Who is NF? Who beat Chance the Rapper for number one? In what may be a surprise to many music fans, the new album by the beloved hip-hop artist Chance the Rapper, The New Day, was edged out of the number one spot on Billboard's album chart this week. What's likely an even bigger surprise is who the rapper is who beat him out. Meet NF, a rapper with a much lower profile than Chance's, with a devoted fan base that propelled his release, The Search, to the top of the charts. Mainstream hip-hop fans might not understand how NF's The Search, which had no significant media push around it, topped The Big Day, an album that saw Chance partnering with Lyft and giving major interviews in support of the release. But NF is no stranger to the top of the charts, and while Chance's first week success for The Big Day was largely driven by streaming, NF's fans flocked to the iTunes store to buy the album, with traditional sales driving his big numbers for The Search. The 28-year-old rapper was born Nathan Feuerstein in Michigan. He released his debut album, Moments, in 2010 as an independent artist. NF signed to Capitol Christian Music Group in 2014, raising an important question about whether he positions himself as a Christian rapper or identifies as one. Perhaps in an effort not to be pigeonholed, NF distanced himself from the term for years. Well, that's all we have time for right now, Mike.
Yep, and that brings us to 7:55 and the end of our program. And this is volunteer broadcaster Mike Miller.
This is volunteer broadcaster Bonnie Cohn wishing you all a pleasant evening.
Good night.
And turning to weather now, here are temperatures across the state. 68 degrees in Flagstaff, 88 Kingman, 81 Prescott, 77 in Sholo, and 92 in Tucson. Here's the forecast for Phoenix and vicinity. It's going to be partly cloudy tonight. There isn't a chance of rain in the forecast right now, at least. Low 87 degrees, and then tomorrow on Friday.